Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Backlot. We are the Backlot Boys, and this is episode 12 of the Backlot Podcast, and we are super excited to talk about Disney Plus. We have been waiting for this for so very long, and it is finally here. Raguna, are you enjoying Disney Plus?
I am, and I'm not. You know, it's really all my fault. I've got a TV that's about 7 days too old, and so the Samsung Smart TV that I have does not have the app, so I've had to resort to you know, kind of the poor man's method with Chromecast. That has been a failure. So I will have to dust off the PS4 and load it through that, because I've been dealing with a lot of buffering issues. I don't know anybody else out there if they've had that problem, but, you know, on my phone, on a tablet, seems to be, you know, it works like a dream, hums along just like a song. But man, I'm telling you, Chromecast, forget about it. Like, if you have one of those, just toss it. Those things are useful.
Ah, well, that's disappointing, because I'm pretty sure you haven't watched The Mandalorian yet.
Yeah, I hate to mention it. You know, I've seen a couple minutes of it, you know, 3 or 4 okay. minutes into it.
Okay. But most importantly, for today's podcast, you have seen The Imagineering Story, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so I've seen the first one, and it just started the second one. So I've seen definitely
perfect,
seen the first one.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so we've got a big topic to talk about. That is Disney Plus, and we're going to jump into Kingdom Cable before that.
All right, a little Kingdom Cable action on the 12th episode. This is 12th episode, right?
Mm-hmm, the 12th episode.
Yeah, we're in there. Just check the playlist. Looking good. So there's been a huge gap. We're not going to go into the whole thing about apologies in that, because we do that every time. A few things. I guess I'll start with, you know, some energy savings, some cost savings, a little better for the dolphins, better for everybody. Walt Disney World, where they have the space, they have the acreage out there. They put in and I can't remember the exact acreage. I feel like it was like 250, 275, 270, something like that. About a 275 acre solar facility over there that's supposed to, I think it's one of those 50 megawatt solar facilities. So it should be, you know, it's going to help out with the renewable energy. They say that it could actually offset like 25% of the power that Walt Disney World needs altogether, which is pretty impressive. So yeah it's about 500,000 solar panels that they've put in there, and hoping to, I think what, you know, they're always talking about how that relates to emissions, you know, greenhouse gases and all that stuff. And I think they said it's the equivalent of about taking, what was it, about, you know, just shy of 10,000 cars off the road each year. So
wow,
not too bad. Pretty stoked about that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's good. I think they at one point had a solar farm there that was shaped as Mickey Mouse, but I think these ones are so big that, you know, they just got them with a standard box. And I've heard that these can power an entire theme park. Like, if one of them can power an entire theme park's energy needs, right?
I think so. So it says 25% of the whole, which I'm assuming that's like the golf courses, the resorts, all that kind of stuff. So I guess if they consolidated down and routed it to one particular park, I'm sure, because I mean, you know, think about 25% of the whole thing. That's still, that 25% of the whole is still bigger than what one individual park would need. So I'm assuming that, you know, I'm sure it could.
Oh, yeah, so, that's great. I know they've put solar panels on the Cars Land building. And as far as I know, I don't know if it's on any other buildings at Disneyland itself, but at Tokyo, I was looking at Tokyo over like an overhead shot of it. Tons of their buildings all have solar panels on them. I thought
that's great. That's
Tokyo doing one up on us again. They got Monsters, Inc. They got the Winnie the Pooh ride. That's better. Ah.
They've got all the food. They've got the fitness. You know, it's a whole thing over there. But I don't know where that comes in. But, you know, they it's got, I think the one in Florida, I think it's on, now I'm not overly familiar, but there's like that Flamingo Crossing, which is kind of like, it looks like kind of farm / swampland / something over there. And that's pretty much, they say that, you know, end to end, if you jumped in your car in Florida at 70 miles per hour, it'd still take you 2 minutes to go from one end to the other. So that's a lot of panels.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the big topics in the news, everybody's seeing it. It's all Disney Plus, but there's just a couple little things, you know. So that was park related. That was Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. I think this one applies to Disney U.S. parks, because the foreign parks have a little different standards. I know, you know, maybe Disneyland Paris. I don't know. Do you think this is like the most relaxed of the standards for the cast members?
Guaranteed.
Yeah, they're you know, laissez-faire, you know, just kind of a little different outlook, different kind of thing over there. And I would have to agree, because when I was there, sometimes it was confusing as to who worked and who was a guest, but, you know, it's fine. It sounds like they're relaxing it. People can grow a little bit of a beard during their vacation time, so that when they come back, you know, they don't have to, you know, shave and, you know, get the red bumps and everything everywhere. So it's nice to see that they're looking out for people's, you know, skincare regimen. You know, that's one of the, you know, one of the things that I always felt like, you know, kind of set them apart. Everybody was clean cut, looking nice, but they also want people to be happy, be comfortable, not have razor burn.
So. Yeah. Razor burn. Yeah. I remember in, I think it was 2006, they relaxed the standard for sunglasses. And I never really thought about that prior to then, but cast members weren't allowed to wear sunglasses on stage. And
like not at all, or?
As far as I know, they were not allowed to. And one of the things I noticed, like when I first saw that, was it was slightly distracting. Like there were some crazy sunglasses and I was like, Oh, I never even noticed that. I mean, it's good. You know, you got to protect your eyes. Probably helps with headaches and things.
Cornea health.
But I do remember that. I was like, whoa, I never realized they never wore sunglasses.
That is really interesting. Huh. You know, because you think, you know, the guy, you know, the guys and gals out there working. I just said gals. It's so weird. The people working on the canoes, especially. I always think of the canoes when I think about how hot it is. Or Toontown, you know. They're out there in the heat, you know, they don't necessarily always have a umbrella, you know, overhead to provide them ample shade. I could see the glasses being something to throw in there. I guess now they can wear a bracelet or a necklace, but only one of each.
And also another interesting fact is at Disney World, as far as I can tell, cast members are allowed to have like a hip bottle of water. At Disneyland, I don't believe they're allowed to do that. You know, originally they were not allowed to eat. They were not allowed to lean, sit, any of those things on stage. So, yeah, you know, some things that make, you know, them comfortable. It is just a lot different than standards of the past, I guess.
Didn't Walt have a policy like you needed to have your knees locked? You know, you needed to look like a toy soldier out there. And, you know, because you always hear about people, don't lock your knees, you know, you're going to pass out. So.
Yeah, I hope he didn't have that. They were just be dropping like flies.
Maybe it was something else, but. It sounds like, you know, they're kind of relaxed. They're relaxing them a little. Hopefully people don't do the whole, you know, you give a mouse a cookie kind of thing and get real bonkers with it. I'm sure they'll be notified. It looks like it's probably for the better unless we start seeing people get out of control here.
Yeah, I think they were allowed to wear some length of beard before. I'm not exactly sure how that worked. I know they've laxed it a little bit. So, yeah, interesting. I would like to get a cast member's perspective. So if you're a cast member, definitely let us know. But what else do you got in that list?
Yeah, throw in the comments. You know, I really only have one other one. There's lots of like little things that you can throw in here, I suppose. But I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is this whole Disney shop in a shop. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys are at the Disney stores and the mall on the regular. I haven't been in one in a long time. I know that there's a policy, and I think they have it at least here in Minnesota at the Mall of America. If you get there early enough in the morning, they'll do a little scene there for you. If you got, especially, you know, you have a young one with you, they'll give them the key. They can unlock the door. I think there's some pizzazz with it all. I haven't experienced that, but I understand that that is an option at some Disney stores. So, you know, they kind of keep things alive with that. But dude, I haven't been in a Disney store. I couldn't tell you when. But Target stores, they are going to be putting this like shop in a shop feature, right? It's going to go into, I don't know how they're going to do this. I think about 25 stores throughout the US, and then maybe throw, I think they said, you know, 40 to 50 more additional stores by the end or the fall of next year of 2020. And they're going to throw those in there. They're going to have, you know, 50 to 100 products in there of, you know, varying complexity. Some of them will be like HBA, so like, you know, shampoo or body wash with Mickey on it. Other ones will be, you know, figurines and apparel and that kind of thing. So should be kind of neat, a little something different. I know that Target's been successful with this model in the past. You know, they had some designers come in at different points. They had Hunter do some, you know, licensed Target stuff. They've had they've had a bunch. I wish I could think of them all here right now. I think they even had Tory Burch make a brief line for, don't quote me on that. Brief line for Target, but here being in the Target epicenter with the corporate headquarters here, we have a couple stores. We have a couple of their test stores in our market. One being the Cory store, kind of over in Northeast where I used to live, and they had some really interesting stuff at that store. That would be where they would test the markets. It's also where the University of Minnesota is. So there's, you know, a kind of a young hip crowd over there, and they'd really test the waters at that shop. and some strange things you'd never expect at Target, some brands that, like, you know, you'd see maybe in a higher end location testing the waters there at Target. So this should be cool. I'm interested to see how this one does.
Yeah, that is interesting. Something that I have for the news is Disneyland related in Tomorrowland. So the entrance to Tomorrowland since the 1998 remodel has had these giant rocks that are been called the French fry rocks, and they've kind of blocked and kind of almost dammed up the entrance to Tomorrowland. So as it was, there was like two flanked entrances and then one in the middle that was then kind of obstructed by a Tomorrowland sign. They've removed those rocks. They removed the sign, and in its place is just grass. It looks like a 60s design. It really does. It looks kind of like 60s, but then you got the golds and the rockets still not up on the platform where they belong. So there's definitely some work being done to change the entrance to Tomorrowland. Does this mean that Tomorrowland is going to be completely redone in the future? We can only hope. No real signs yet that that's ever going to happen, unfortunately, but I know a lot of people are complaining. They're like, the grass, you know, there's not even some railings around some of the grass. So people have just kind of frolicked and, you know, laying out in the sun on the grass. And I think once the Christmas time commercial stuff has all been filmed, apparently then they're going to go back and they're going to finish it. The grass has only been there temporarily. So we'll see. I think in the next few months, we'll see what that entrance actually will turn out to be, because there's some strange like patterns and things like that in the grass, like extra cement barricades that don't make sense. So I think it's kind of temporary for the holiday season, just so that area is more open. And then once it's done, they come in and finish it.
Those patterns that were there like before, like previous construction, are these like layers on layers that are now being exposed, or is this new?
No, this is all new. They've taken the footprint of the rocks and shrunk it. And then in its place is just plain grass. So you're losing like a really nice thematic element is the rocks, but it's much more open, which is positive for crowds and things like that. But your hope is that they'll come back in there and add some more themed elements. The original Tomorrowland entrance was amazing, or at least not so much the original, but the one that I remember as a kid, the 80s to the early 90s entrance. That's what I hope that they can go back to eventually.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we didn't really mention this, but they've done a big shakeup with the organization, you know, with Imagineering. So maybe you get somebody coming in there and kind of redesign. Now, I don't know which subset within Imagineering would be handling that part, but hopefully they take a look. Hopefully they clean that up a little bit, because, yeah, there's some continuity issues over there. It's almost like, you know, I'm not just going to reference real briefly the Imagineering special. And they were talking about how it's kind of like a movie or a film set in some ways in between the lands. You know, there's this transition that occurs, you know, and that's like a scene transition or you know, maybe if it's something bigger than that. But when you go from the hub to Tomorrowland or Tomorrowland to the hub, there's that weird area that's over by Pixie Hollow that just you're not really sure what to do with yourself in that area. So I really hope that they get that cleaned up, find the identity, you know, create that line, but then also keep the edges a little blurred. So it's, you know, it's a smooth transition, but yeah, it's a little choppy.
I agree. Yeah. It is a little strange around there. Where you're talking about Pixie Hollow was once Tomorrowland at one point. That's where the House of the Future was and things like that. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. And the last bit of news at Disneyland is that the building that was behind Toontown, where Mickey's Runaway Railroad is going to be built, has all been torn down. It is just plain dirt now. So that's a good sign that Mickey's Runaway Railroad is now like under construction, and they're probably going to start, you know, excavating it out more, you know, adding the utilities, the foundations and stuff will probably start appearing over the next coming months. So
now, wasn't that building that was Goofy's massage parlor? What was that building? What was in there before they tore it down?
I believe it wasn't Mickey's massage parlor, but
that's where you got confused. Goofy's massage parlor.
Oh, Goofy's and Goofy's parades. I think it was the parade and entertainment building, but I'm not 100% sure. It's what's interesting is where they've torn it out is a very long built, like very rectangle, very long and skinny, where that's the complete opposite show building over in MGM in Disney World, where they're building Mickey's Runaway Railroad right now, or it got stopped or postponed so they could move construction workers around. But now it's like going to open June in Disney World. But that building is much different shaped. So it's interesting to see the differences when that one opens and the Disneyland one opens to see if there really is differences, because the show buildings are completely different shapes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Like the ride, the overall, like everything that you've heard about the, you know, how the attraction is going to perform, you know, is it supposed to be exactly the same? So this is kind of curious seeing the different size buildings.
Well, the only indication on what the Disney World versus the Disney one will look like is the Disney World ones outside in queue are going to be more grounded in reality. And the Disneyland one is going to be tuned from the beginning. You're going into the Hysterical Society Theater or something like that, you know, the puns. Okay. And then you go in there and there's props from Mickey's different cartoons. Whereas the one in Disney World is going to actually have movie props, like real movie props in the queue and stuff like that. So a little bit different.
That. Yeah, I like that. Now, movie props from Disney movies, Disney, like, you know, like real life movies, or what kind of props are these?
I don't know. They're movie props. That's all I've heard. That's all I've seen.
Hey, there it is. Okay.
So, yeah, that's the Disney news I have for you.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that about wraps it up. Should we move on? Should we go to the big one here?
Let's go to the plus size topic. Jumping out of the Kingdom Cable, let's start talking about our main topic today, and that is Disney Plus. Are you ready for a story?
And I am ready to listen.
Okay. So it came out weirdly a little bit early where I live, and I was able to watch The Mandalorian, watch just a little bit of the Disney story. And then when I woke up, it looked like people were having so many problems. You know, Wreck-It Ralph was holding up like a broken internet symbol and people were super upset. So I think for whatever reason, in the West Coast market, it came online a little bit sooner than the rest of the United States. And I was able to sneak in some watch time before it just completely crashed.
Surprises me, Scar, because you live in the woods. You know,
that's true.
For you to say that a technology thing occurred in your area first is that's a first.
So it is a first. Cool. Nobody that I could see had it yet. For some reason, it came out and went online here. And then, yeah, I went to bed. And then people, I guess it had come online around like 6 in the morning elsewhere. And I was watching at like 6, 7 at night my time. That was great. So I was able to get in some stuff. Now, the first thing I watched on Disney Plus, I looked around, you know, The Mandalorian, the Disney Story, all these different things. But the thing that I had to watch first was Steamboat Willie. I just felt it was fitting.
Steamboat Willie, and that's the Mortimer guy with the nose and the floppy. He kind of has like goofy ears, but like a Pluto's nose. It's kind of like a hybrid of everybody.
No, Mickey driving the steamboat. Steamboat Willie, the first one, the first one.
Like that
metal
thing.
Yeah, geez, come on. What kind of trivia?
I was joking. I was trying to get
you got me.
I wanted you to explain it to people listening in case they didn't know. So I was kind of leading on as if I wasn't sure.
Oh,
of
course, you busted
I know it's
$50.
It's $50, $60 for the Lego set of that, which I think is just really great. It's a lot of people, a lot of responsibility to put it together, but it's pretty dope. So that was the first thing you watched. Now, like that, I don't know. Did you go searching for that, or was that like on a recommended thing? Like that was your first thing to watch. So it's like they didn't even know anything about you yet.
Yeah, well, I want to get into like the more technical side of Disney Plus soon, but
sure.
Yeah, no, I just was searching through all the different things. I was looking through the classics like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Swiss Family Robinson, Blackbeard's Ghost, all of those things, because I do want to rewatch a lot of the old live action Disney movies. I'm checking to see.
Wait a minute. You're going to need to be careful because there are some outdated cultural depictions.
That is in the technical side of it. Again, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, that's something about it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to watch some of those old ones. When I went into the Marvel section, I was looking at that. There's some like spotty stuff there. Like they're missing some things because they have contracts outside of it. But then I was like, wait, the classic Mickey Mouse's. And I saw it and I was like, that's what I'm going to watch first. Steamboat Willie.
Did it let you down? Does it hold up?
Oh no, I was in fits of laughter. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, there is some stuff here that still holds up. And this is about as crude animation as you can get. There's better stuff on YouTube today, but there's just always something about those animators and their heart and what they had in it. And it was good. I enjoyed it.
Can you do everybody a favor? Can you do your best Mickey Mouse impression?
Hot dog, mate.
That's actually pretty good. Now you said hot dog, right?
Yeah. Hot dog there. Yeah.
And it's pretty good. So, you know, and that's like old Mickey too. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Old Mickey is a little higher pitch. That was Walt, really getting in it because, you know, he was the voice.
Isn't the thing there too, where when Mickey started out, he was kind of a mischievous, I was going to say mischievous cat, but you know, he's a mouse, but mischievous guy. He's kind of, you know, playing some tricks here and there. But then they decided like, hey, why don't we make this guy a little more wholesome, mm-hmm. and we'll bring in the duck. And he can kind of be the, I'm not going to say it. He can kind of be the grouchy guy. He kind of, people get on his nerves, you know, pretty easily. He's liable to throw down at the drop of a hat. Is that kind of how they made that transition?
I don't know that for sure, but it sounds right. Sounds good to me. Mickey definitely is different in Steamboat Willie than he is in a following cartoon I watched, which was like basically the Ghostbusters. I forgot the exact name, but it's
Lonesome Ghost.
There you go. It's he's definitely different for sure. And yeah, in the Steamboat Willie, like he was pulling this cat's tail and stuff, you know, maybe not to today's standards there. But, you know, I thought it was funny, even though I would never pull a cat's tail because I have common sense, sure. You know, and understand that. But, you know, it was an interesting thing. I don't think they would get away with today.
Can we talk Lonesome Ghosts real quick?
Sure.
So who would you rather be? So if anybody doesn't know, Mickey, Goofy, Donald, they are... they're Ghostbusters. They're hired guns to go and eradicate some of the local residents of their you know, spectral inhabitants. Mm-hmm. So they're working, they're sleeping. You know, obviously, you know, they're not getting a lot of work. Phone rings. It's a couple of ghosts horsing around on the phone, making some prank calls, and they call the Ghostbusters to come out to their haunted mansion and you know stir up some trouble. So when the three of those guys arrive, I'm not going to give anything else away, no spoilers. When the three of them arrive, though, one of them has an axe. Another one has a double-barreled shotgun, and the other one has a net. So you arrive on the scene looking for it. First of all, those are not the right things to have. No. But if you had to be one of those, which one of those tools would you like to have for your ghost busting?
So do I have an option between a net, a shotgun, a double-barreled shotgun, mind you? And then what was the other one?
And the other one was an axe, like a fireman's axe. A flathead axe, as they say.
Oh, wow. That's actually really hard. I'll just take the shotgun for the lulls because, I mean, sure. Annette's not going to do anything. The axe, I mean, I guess you could swing it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to take the double barrel shotgun.
What were they thinking? Especially Donald with the net. You know, I almost thought I'd rather have the net. I just put it on my head and walk out of there. Like, what am I doing with myself?
What would the Ghostbusters have thought of this? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, with the proton packs and all that kind of stuff, like the containment. Yeah, that whole containment thing. So anyway, I was just curious. Lonesome Ghost is a classic. It's very old. It's very crazy. But man, what a ill-equipped ragtag group of ghost hunters.
That makes such a fun ride.
Yeah. Oh, man, it would. Especially the end when they're all the I don't want to give away any spoilers. You guys will all go check it out. Lonesome Ghost, Disney Plus. Or yeah, YouTube, so, if you're not there yet.
So that was good. And then I moved on to The Mandalorian. Can I talk about The Mandalorian? Wait, you did
Mandalorian before Imagineering Story?
I did.
You're out of here. I don't believe
it. I did.
Oh, Jesus.
The Mandalorian, it is hands down like top three right now favorite like Star Wars things ever. And it just from the start of it, it's got just this whole different feel. So the only spoilers I'll give is like he starts out in a bar cantina vibe, kind of gets you right into that Star Wars mood, and he just takes down two of his bounties, just boom, boom, boom. I mean, one of them may or may not have got cut in half via an aperture style door. So you know an aperture, how it closes and opens?
Yeah, that's like that James Bond style. It like comes to the circle.
Yeah, well, he was trying to shoot him and he pulled him into it and closed it. Boop.
Ooh,
and then it cuts to the next scene where there is just stack after stack after stack of carbonite bounties, and I was just like, "Whoa, okay." He gets on the plane. He gets on his, you know, his vehicle, and they're flying away. And his bounty, who he hasn't put in carbonite yet, says, "I'd like to get home for Life Day." And if you're not familiar, Life Day is the Star Wars equivalent of Christmas. And they made that reference.
From the movie?
They made the reference.
The Christmas special.
Yes. They made that reference.
I saw that with a large audience a couple of years ago at a special event. So I've watched that movie. It is horrifying.
It is. But they made that reference. And from there, I knew it would be good.
So, you know, since I haven't watched it, and we're not going to give away anything here, but we will about this, the craft. So you said he hopped in, he had a bunch of these guys all, you know, frozen in carbonite. Is he in this, you know, is the Star Craft or the cruiser, what, you know, whatever you want to call that thing, Starfighter, is it like Slave One or is it totally different, reimagined, whole different thing, big old thrusters on it? What's going on with his
Yeah, ship? It's completely different. And there's a really good, because I didn't know who actually made this till recently. So it's Dave Filoni, a cowboy hat gentleman. Apparently he was in charge of all the animation stuff. People really like, you know, the stuff he's created, like Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff like that. And then there is John Favreau.
Western wear, it sounds like.
Yes, he's must be big on the Western wear. He's got a cowboy hat and everything.
The American Southwest, American West. Okay.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a beard. You know, he's really rocking that Western style. And like Dave Filoni. Dave Favreau. And Dave Favreau is, you know...
Wait, it's Baloney?
No, Favaroni. No.
Oh, for those who are looking it up at home. Okay, okay, you got it.
Something like that. Anyway, yeah. He's the guy who directed the original Iron Man. He appears with Tony Stark as a security guy, you know, from some of the movies. He did The Lion King, The Jungle Book. So he's the producer, I think, of this. And those two apparently are huge Star Wars guys. And they've just cooked together some really cool stuff. And I'm really excited to see where they take it.
Isn't this like the most expensive TV show ever made or something like that?
You know, I don't know, but I assume it is. You should see these special effects.
I'm going to watch it. I've been excited about it. Now, one thing I'm confused on, I did see some publicity photos of this a while back. And it showed him walking out of what looks like a cantina, what you were just describing. And there were a bunch of stormtrooper helmets on spikes. I was confused by that. Who does this guy work for? Is he just hired, you know, kind of a hitman sort of deal?
So The Mandalorian, as far as I know, it takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Sure.
So the Empire has fallen.
Well, the Empire fell, and that makes more sense.
The Empire has fallen, and then within the first episode, you kind of see that the Emperor credits, the Empire's credit system, is no longer good. And like some of the money he's trading in, there's like a fish currency from fish people and it's kind of squishy. And
do you think that could ever happen here? You know,
what?
Planet Earth, United States, you know, just money just kind of like dissolve, you know, it's something, you know, it's not worth anything anymore. People are trading in like mushrooms and bees or something, you know, like
Instagram,
do you see something
likes
like that ever happen?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's interesting. It could. Yeah. So, I'm trying not to spoil too much, but yeah, it's...
Do we see the sandcrawler that the Jawas used to post up in? Do we see that?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we learn why Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back told Boba Fett, no more incinerations. See my impression there? Not bad, right? Not bad.
Actually, first of all, the impression was great. Second of all, that's interesting. I didn't even recall that conversation, but you know.
Yeah, he looks super stern at Boba Fett and goes like, no more incinerations. And then Boba Fett's like, okay. And not a good impression. More mocking because the way he kind of looked down, like he was kind of defeated a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Is my man's Lando Calrissian in this movie by chance?
No sign of him yet.
Okay.
So the sandcrawlers are in there. That's a really cool scene. There's a creature that's now his kind of like buddy. I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but it's really good. It's like the cutest thing ever. So speaking about things that really aren't spoilers, the music is incredibly good. It's got
Is it Williams?
I do not believe it's Williams. Unfortunately,
Maybe an apprentice of his.
We'll believe it's his apprentice. It's got this like Western vibe to it. And I bought his The Mandalorian theme. I didn't buy the whole set. I just bought the one song, a bit of a cheapskate. Okay. And it's good.
Can you
hum
it to us here a little bit, or you know, a little razzle dazzle from your end and just we don't want to do anything with copyright, but maybe you can just hum it or whistle it.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, okay.
Just from the show. So yeah, when I do, I will do that in the next podcast. And I don't know. There's something about it that really gets you going. Like you want to. I don't know. It's
isn't there some gunslinger droid that just starts firing off rounds? And you know, one of his blaster pistols kind of looks like a revolver. Am I making that up, or was there actually a scene?
He will encounter a fellow bounty hunter who is a droid, and he is really cool. And it's kind of funny how it all ends. So, yeah, not going to spoil that one for you.
Say no more, you know?
Yes. So, right, yeah, so Mandalorian is fantastic, from the visual effects to the music. Now, I'm going to bring up two interesting facts. The only thing that I do not like about the Mandalorian is its runtime, but it's also good in a weird way. So
what's the runtime? Explain
the runtime is like 39 minutes for the first episode and maybe like 39, and then maybe it's like 29 to 30 on the second episode.
Short.
So
those are short.
This is what I've heard. Now, don't quote me 100%, but because this is the Disney Plus platform and they don't have to conform to traditional TV standards of 22 minutes to 42 minutes for TV shows, that if the story is fine, it doesn't need to have more to meet a runtime, mm-hmm. don't do it. And if the story needs more, you can push it. That is what I've been told, but I don't know if that's 100% true, but I've seen it started to be played out in the Mandalorian's runtime. So the first episode is 39 minutes and the second episode is 32 minutes. And honestly, as much as I wish the second episode was longer, I don't think it needed to be. If they added more stuff to it, I don't think it would have added anything more to the story. So if Disney allows their creators, when they make these shows, to have a little bit more freedom with runtimes, I think that's a really cool thing.
Now, at first you said the time and I was like, oh, geez, you know, that's cutting it short. Mm-hmm. But of course, that is very short when you're dealing with something with a ton of commercials. But if it's just flowing, you know, that's not so bad. Do you remember? I don't know if you recall, but Twilight Zone back in season 4, that was the first time they tested the long format, you know, the 47 minute or, you know, however long it was, you know, deviating from the original 30 minute episodes. And those hour long ones. And now I love all Twilight Zones. I'm a little impartial, but those ones, you know, they dragged. There were some drag-ons.
Yeah.
And this will be interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. That's really, I did not know that. That's very curious.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. There is, there's one other thing too. It's interesting is they've really only introduced maybe at best 3 characters so far. And there's a whole bunch more characters to be introduced. So as you're watching this, so far you've seen the Mandalorian, you've seen the old Imperial guy, you've seen the kind of the head of the bounty guild. And that's about it. But there is at least like 8 or 9 more characters, like main characters that they haven't even introduced yet. So like it's exciting because like, oh, the next episode, maybe they'll introduce this character or that character. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a whole bunch of great stuff to unfold as this series goes on.
So Mandalorian, now Baby Yoda, was that one of the characters you were referencing? Or do we know that this is Yoda? Or is
actually,
it just a guy that kind of looks like him that, you know?
Well, if you spoil it, we can go on it. Even though technically spoilers have been lifted because once the Disney's official or Star Wars official like Twitters and stuff started tweeting out pictures of said Yoda, then it's good. So nobody knows 100% what this creature is. But what we do know is that it's definitely not Yoda. Could it be a Yoda clone? Who knows? It could be anything. But it's not specifically Yoda. Now, the thing is, nobody knows what Yoda's species is. They've never named his species. So that's why people are just calling it Baby Yoda, because we don't really know anything about the creature other than he's 50 or she or whoever is 50 years old and still pretty much a baby. And we have no species name.
You know, I always thought that was true because he was old, but it looks like he's had that from the beginning.
Well, Yoda's like 800 something years old.
Sure.
Yeah. But the Mandalorian. Now,
he has the man underneath
50.
The Mandalorian mask, or do we get to see somebody under there? Or?
Nope. No. And I hope they don't. I hope we don't. Yeah. I like it. It reminds me of Wally.
He's holding the pistol, but you know, I haven't. Actually, those might be gloves. No, I haven't. I wondered if there was going to be a face reveal on that.
Well, there could be at some point in the series, but as of now, he hasn't lifted the mask, and I hope they really, really hold back from doing that, at least for a while, because I think it's kind of nice, because it's interesting to watch something being acted with zero expression. It's very similar to Wall-E, where 15 minutes mm-hmm. of Wall-E had no dialogue, and
it's
I was riveted. I felt like it went downhill after that, so... I like seeing that because I think it's so far being really well done with him just being behind a mask with very few words.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can dig that. Okay, all right.
So I hope you watch it. It's very good.
I will.
definitely now one I'm, of my now favorite I'm a lot shows.
More excited about it. Of course, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's very good. You'll love Baby Yoda. And so the one thing we have watched together here now is the Imagineering story. What are your thoughts on it so far? I want to hear it.
All right. So chapter two here in the podcast on the big subject matter, we're talking about the Imagineering story. You know, so there were a lot of things that I really enjoyed about it. You know, I think probably the best part about it is, hate to do this, I'm just going to jump right in. Robert Gurr. There's so much to say about him. Again, like we keep talking about doing a podcast about him. But he's a very lively gentleman. He's, you know, he was down there. He was down there in the trenches, taking the grenades early on with the park and from all the, you know, really cool, innovative stuff they had, but then also all the disasters. They had monorails catching on fire, you know, hose it off real quick, get it back out there. It was so cool to see some of that stuff in action. Immediately, I'm on Google looking up like obscure photos of Gurr, like racing around in these tiny little Autopia prototypes. And he's got the cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve. And it was a different time, different kind of thing. And it was, I think that was my favorite part, was like Gurr and who's the other fella? Rolly Crump. Those are my two favorite Imagineers right now. And it was good to hear their voices.
Oh, that was one of my favorite parts. There's the part where they follow Bobby Gurr up into the Matterhorn, and he signs his name on the Matterhorn. After all this time, the creator, you know, there was a special moment, and he signed it, and it was just I think that was the highlight so far of the Imagineering special. And one thing that I really liked about it is that there, especially in episode one, a lot of little pieces of footage that I've never seen before, and I've seen a lot of old footage. Sure. And to see, and even just little segments that were a little bit more drawn out than the usual short clip, like Walt pulling the wrench on the Matterhorn or the monorail beam or something. You know, they played a little bit longer of that clip. You know, he's kind of joking around with the workmen and stuff.
And he looks up and he looks down, and you can tell that there could be a joke in there, but he's actually talking about something, you know, that matters.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily some nonsense photo op. It's like he's, you know, yeah, there's content to it. There's some actual meat in there. Meat and potatoes.
And can I point out that for some reason during the time period of Walt's life, you know, as Disneyland's being constructed to maybe like 1 or 2 years into it, there was some fashion going around at that time where some really short ties and some really big pants. Really big pants.
The pants got taller, they got roomier. The pants got taller, wider, more pleats. And the ties got that the pants taller, wider, more pleats, and the ties got shorter. It was so, it was almost like, I hate to say it, you know, it's disrespectful, but that's how, like how clowns dress with that tiny tie and the flat, you know, he didn't have a squirting flower. He might have, we didn't see it, but you know, yeah, with the pants and everything. And yeah, something happened. And, you know, Walt cruised along with the times. And, but, you know, I always just imagine Walt, you know, in that sharp suit with the, what is it, the Sun Valley or Sun Ranch or whatever little emblem thing there on his tie. And, I like that Walt, but you're right. There were some clips. You got to see Walt as a dad a little bit more in a couple of them, like a little, it's just the few, it's such a good point you made. The few extra seconds that they left on those videos where you got to see after like the, you know, those short little cuts, which they do so much of now. It didn't do them as much then, but yeah, just drew it out a little bit further and you could see this face and you could see the mannerisms. You know, I've watched a lot of those old Walt videos. Some to the point where, you know, your eyes get a little teared up and that definitely happened in this episode as well. There was, it was really cool.
Some other notable people in this series that are good is Alice Davis. So she, of course, the great costume designer for the Pirates of the Caribbean, A Small World. And of course her husband was Mark Davis. And then you got Tony Baxter, the Stash. He's sitting up there, looking out over New Orleans Square. Marty Sklar unfortunately passed about 2 years ago, but they have a clip of him walking through the Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's such a cool scene. And Kim Irvine,
is in it a lot. She's even in, I believe she was in the second episode as well, the beginning.
Oh yeah, lots in the second episode, because so they got the Sklar down there in Pirates of the Caribbean, and Irvine is walking through the Haunted Mansion. And she's walking through the ballroom in the second episode.
Just and I was just strutting right on through the joint.
Yeah. And it's like, if, you know, Lisa Iwerks is the director of this. And, you know, I tweeted and didn't get a reply, you know, didn't take offense or anything. But But please, please someday show an extended clip of some of those scenes. I know they've got some cool footage of Bob Gurr walking through the Matterhorn, Irvine walking through the Haunted Mansion, Sklar walking through the Pirates of the Caribbean. They've got to have some gems hidden in that footage. Oh,
they do. They do. Did you notice the part on the Matterhorn also when it showed Gurr was sitting in the car and he was like, he had all the paper in the Matterhorn bobsled. He had all the papers in his hand. He was like trying to figure out the angles. He said he'd never even taken a geometry class. So he's learning in the field. You know, he's out there on the ride trying to figure out, okay, well, we better make the tracks dip here because I just got stuck, you know, and bank here and dip. You know, it was, that's the first tube, you know, steel roller coaster of its kind ever, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
man, there's so much in this series. I mean, if you're watching this podcast, you're a big Disney fan, clearly a big Disneyland fan. And that first episode is fantastic. The second episode is very good also. That is about the Haunted Mansion. So it takes place right after Walt's death.
Solely Haunted Mansion in that second up?
No. And what I've noticed about this now, and I want to get into this in a second, is that it looks like it's going to be going in a chronologic order of Imagineering's life so far. So we start in, creating Disneyland and then kind of starting to build up Disneyland, doing the 1958 refurbishment of the Matterhorn, the submarines, you know, that big thing. And then it's gone into the second episode after Walt's death, the Haunted Mansion opens, and then they start building Epcot and then Tokyo Disney, which, can I point out, there is some cool history behind the Tokyo Disney construction that I didn't know about. How it was this ragtag group of Imagineers that headed up the Tokyo Disney development, while all like the Epcot
the
group,
A-team.
Yeah, the A-team over there with like as much resources as possible. Well, the ragtag group over there builds an entire Magic Kingdom style park in a foreign land, you know, and it was a cool story because the guy who kind of headed up all that was Bob Wise, who is now the head of Imagineering today. So I thought that was a cool little thing.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't quite pick up. You know, I haven't watched the whole one of that episode, but I'm really excited to get in there. What are they going to do? They're going to do six episodes, I think.
I think so. I hope it's more, just because I'm loving it. But yeah, six. Yeah, that sounds about right. I some of the history is great. I also can't wait to hear about some of like the modern day stuff too. Yeah, I want to see, Joe Rohde. You know, I know he's in this series.
Yeah, what is Rohde doing now? He heads up Animal Kingdom, doesn't he? Isn't he the president over there of Imagineering
for Animal Kingdom? And he's working on Disney's second island right now. So you know they've procured another island down in the Caribbean, and he's working on that. Which, I mean, look what he did with the Hawaii hotel, like. It's gonna be great.
He knows what he's doing when it comes to that tiki stuff. Now, if he could just fix the Yeti, you know, he knows that's on him. It's on him, and all in due time. But he needs to fix that. He knows the responsibility is there, and he'll get to it hopefully sooner than later.
That's true. Any more memorable things from the Imagineering story?
Well, again, you know, so I've really only honed in on that first episode. Bob Gurr is wearing some very bright red shoes. I think, yeah, just a lot of those early shots. And I think it was just a lot of those personal moments with Walt. That's what really set it apart for me. There's lots of different things that I like about the company, about, you know, the parks, all this kind of stuff. But we didn't get, I obviously didn't get to experience Walt in my lifetime. I was making some fried rice or whatever, you know, and I just watched this part where they were talking about when Walt died, that they all kind of they were kind of stagnant there for a little bit.
Stuck
in some like, what our leader's gone, and Walt was like the great motivator, and he was the one that, you know, inspired, you know, a lot of the creativity. And it's not that these guys couldn't do it, obviously they proved they could. But they, you know, they lost some of that confidence when Walt was gone, and there was this kind of funky time, and they knew that they needed to drag out of it. I was going to ask you, what really got them? Was there something that, do you think it was somebody else that stepped up as a leader? Was it the opening of, you know, the Haunted Mansion? Like, what was it that kind of like revitalized them, got them on a new track? Do you know what it was?
I don't know. You know, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but one thing that would be great someday is to interview on this podcast one of them and literally ask that question, because that is such an interesting question that I've never heard someone say. I really like that question you have there, because the things I've heard before was that Sklar kind of stood up a little bit, you know, was like, kind of like, all right, we gotta get going. We can't wallow. We gotta get going. I've heard that one. But yeah, I think a big part too was Roy. And in the documentary, they point this out, and I've never heard them really talk about this till now, finally, is that Roy basically worked himself into the grave to make sure that Disney, that Walt's vision of Disney World came true. And, you know,
and the truth of the matter is that must have been kind of tricky for him, because Roy didn't necessarily agree with everything Walt had. Everything Walt wanted to do is more expensive than Roy wanted to deal with, Roy being the financials. You know, so that was one of those things. You're right. I mean, he really basically, as far as I know, so again, like you said, Marty seems like the obvious answer, because he was one of the people in the documentary that brought up this point that they lost the speed and the wind in their sails there for a little bit. But they did have to move on and wrap up Epcot. And didn't Roy basically, wasn't he like pretty much the project manager for Epcot at that point?
Well, he became the finance guy and the creative guy. And he was just a finance guy before, but his son, Roy E. Disney, in the documentary says that those last few years was some of the happiest his brother was, because he got to experience this whole new world outside of just the papers.
And how do you like that?
And man, he got to make like creative decisions and see this whole process. And they only showed a little clip of this speech that Roy E. Disney was giving. And once again, it's another little nugget from this podcast. It's like, oh, I want to see more of this. Like, I want to hear this whole speech. It sounded like he was just specifically talking to the Imagineers, and he was kind of like giving them a, you know, a little pat on the back, an appreciate, like a, you know, attaboy.
Yeah, sure.
So that was another really cool clip. There's a lot about Roy, and that's nice.
That's a good point. He doesn't get a ton of coverage around. People don't know a ton about him. I don't mean like people, but you know, it's like maybe people who aren't like huge enthusiasts.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did want to mention, it just made me remember this. There's a lot of archive footage out there. Obviously, a lot of stuff we'll never see. But have you ever seen that footage of Tony Baxter is giving the speech to, you know, I think Eisner was there, some financial guys are there, some, you know, anybody involved in the investment of what was eventually a California Adventure. But this was when he was talking about the Western River expansion.
Oh.
And he was pitching the idea. Have you ever heard that? It's so cool. It's really rough. It's super rough. And I'm not positive if there's actual video to it. It's either the video is just of Baxter talking, but you can't see the crowd and you have the audio, or it's Baxter's PowerPoint style presentation and the audio, but you can't see the people. Now, I can't remember what orientation it was in. Obviously, the audio is there, but I don't know what the video component was. But that was very cool to hear. It's in equally disappointing because, you know, of what came out of everything. But yeah, that was pretty cool. Those speeches, those presentations, those, you know, those fire up meetings and those there's so much. Oh, man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall or at least see the footy after.
Oh, yes, man. Yeah, that would be really cool. So Imagineering Story, 2 thumbs up. That is Mandalorian 2. They both get 2 thumbs up, and well worth the price so far for purchasing Disney Plus. These two series above and beyond.
If you would, you know, I don't know, it's something that's fairly new, but you know, $7 a month, $70 a year, however things were working out for you the day you set it up. Did you know that? I don't know. I didn't know this. There's actually like a video out there that it's like 3 hours long, maybe. And it basically kind of, it's a 3-hour preview for all of Disney Plus, kind of tells you everything that's on there. It kind of goes through a bunch of trailers and whatnot. Are you familiar with that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I'll send you some links. You know what we'll do when we publish the podcast here, you know, wherever it is, we'll include some links and we'll give you some of these. One is to that. And then there's another one that actually, to the current library, there's a complete list of everything that's on Disney Plus. If you're still on the fence and not sure if you're going to get it, there's the free trial. So you have that option. If you don't want to do the free trial, then what you can do, you know, be happy you do it. Go to this list and check it out. I mean, there's, you know, obviously thousands of titles. Scroll through, find some of your favorites. And that should be the one thing that gets you over the fence and you go ahead and get this booked and start checking stuff out.
Yeah, and for people who have Hulu and the ESPN.
Or is it Hulu? No, that's a different thing. Silicon Valley.
Oh, man. I want to see that last season. So they you can bundle all three of these products together for like $12.99, which is still less than Netflix.
It's a pretty good deal. You know, they Disney actually, so you're not going to see a lot of ads. You're not going to see a lot of banners and, you know, pre-roll and stuff, at least not as it's proposed and how it's functioning right now. But, you know, Disney did make that deal with Starz. You know, originally they had given the Force Awakens property to Starz to air on their platform. And then, you know, Disney Plus is getting ready to come out. They're like, you know, we got to get Force Awakens back. What are we going to do here, Starz? So they negotiated out a deal. I think it's mainly on that main page. You may see some Starz, and that's STARZ, banner ads on Disney Plus. Don't be alarmed. Don't be bothered. You know, probably don't click on them either. But or do. But those are that was out of a deal. Otherwise, outside of those banners, you really shouldn't see too many advertisements on the platform.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the one place that you may see ads. It's again, not everybody will see them. I mean, so what is it? U.S., Canada, I think Netherlands, Australia, New Zealand. That's what's active now. And then, you know, our friends in the U.K. and in Germany, France. There's two others, Italy and Spain. I think they get theirs in March.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, so I didn't know about that.
Different areas will have the potential to see different ads. But if there are ads, it's probably Starz related.
Interesting. Yeah, here's before I get to my recommendations, I do want to talk about this, and it's a concern that I have. So as of right now, there are things that are still contracted out. So you'll see if you search, you know, your favorite Disney something or other, it might say coming in a year or coming in a couple months or something.
That already happened to me.
So when you see that, that's okay. Well, that'll come soon. I think there was something that said everything would be, all outside contracts would be done by like 2022, maybe.
Sure. And that's mostly with the Marvel stuff, because that seems like the most contentious, the Marvel.
Yeah. But here's a problem that I've heard, and this would be something I'd be very disappointed in, is if they go back to the vault method and say, hey, you know, we're going to pull out Dumbo. No. We're going to pull out a couple Pixars out of there or something like that. That was a rumor, and I don't know if that's going to come true, but that's a way I think of killing the platform, because the appeal to this is that you have this massive library now to look through and watch to your heart's content. I especially think it's probably good for the families, the children. You know, a parent, you know, might not have their specific, you know, movie that the kid wants, and they can pull it right up out of this giant list. This is like, I mean, this is science fiction for when we were growing up. So I really hope they don't go to that vault method. And if you're not familiar with I was actually just on Disney Plus, and the first time I've ever had an issue with it, just crashed on me. But so far, that is the only issue that I've had so far.
I had one crash on the platform yesterday.
And, you know, honestly, when you think about it, it's pretty good for their first go at it. Yeah. I know some people have been criticizing it for this and that. And yeah, there's features that I'd like to see here. I'd like to see a better area for shows that I'm watching. So you have your banner ad at the top that showcases, you know, some of their big things like The Mandalorian, Avengers Endgame, stuff like that. Simpsons, it's got its own problems there. But if below that they had a place for the things you're currently watching, instead you got to search for what you're watching, and it
every
saves
single time.
It saves where you've watched, but it's super inconvenient.
Yeah, there are a couple hiccups, you know. And what do you want to talk about hiccups with the lost information or the hacked accounts? Do you any insight into that?
No, I know Disney at one point just said it was basically your fault, or you've used the same
issue.
Password.
Hey, stop
or
using
something.
The same password. Stop giving out the accounts. You know, it's your fault. But it seemed like there was a lot of it. But then again, you know, look at the grand scheme. What do they say? There's 10 million subscribers to Disney Plus today. That's not so bad, you know, a couple of people.
Yeah, and you never know, people do give out their passwords to just about everybody. And
or they log on in a public place, you know, there's a million reasons this could be happening.
Yeah, I'm a little doubtful that Disney Plus was hacked, just knowing the patterns of humans and being like, hey, here's my Netflix password, here's this, that, and other thing, and you've already given it to like 20 people. And you get those emails all the time from your friends or family's emails that have been hacked, you know, trying to get some money from you. So,
hey, we're in Ecuador. The reason that my voice sounds different, I am your son, but, you know, I got my nose broken in a bar fight, and, you know, I could really appreciate some cash to get home. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you get those calls sometimes.
So, you know, that stuff happens all the time. So I think let's wait and see before just completely jumping on the let's hate it bandwagon. Yeah. But so, yeah, like I said, I'd like to see the watch page built into there. But once again, out of that, I just want to see more original things. I mean, there's lots of old stuff on here. That's great. I'm looking forward to seeing. But once the Mandalorian and the Disney Plus thing or the Imagineering story is done, there isn't a lot more original content. But
there
I hope
is.
They
Jeff
are-
Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, National Geographic has some stuff planned.
Yeah,
I believe Jim Henson Company. You know, they got Earth to Ned coming on, that kind of talk show for puppets.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, there's okay. Laughs and goofs. We'll have a good time watching.
I do. I enjoy a laugh and a goof, of course. But I guess maybe some of the more stuff, some of the stuff is still to come, like the Obi-Wan series. The there's a bunch of other Star Wars things coming too, but we just have to wait a little longer for those. And that's
okay. You're a little more sophisticated with your entertainment requirements than some, than myself, at least. I'm interested in Forky asks a question, you know, Monsters at Work. Some of those little spinoffs I think are kind of fun. I already watched the Forky, one of the Forky ones. It was the one where, What is a Friend? I haven't watched What is Money yet, but I'm looking forward to it. What is a Friend is very funny.
Oh, I am looking forward to Monsters at Work. I am very much looking forward to that. Got a friend working on it. Come on now. Of course we're looking forward to that.
Aside from that, a little bit of that functionality, that user interface stuff, what are you the most like kind of disappointed with?
What am I disappointed with? Honestly, I can't find anything to fault it with outside of just having a better save page, a better watch page. I'd also like them to add the clock when you're watching something, at least on the iPad, and you push the pause. I'd like to see the time at the top because, you know, you might be great. Watching a lot of stuff and the times are racking up. It's getting late at night. But honestly, this is met all my expectations. I'm not dissatisfied in anything. It's got the download functionality. It's got just about enough stuff to watch for quite a while. Like I'm happy with it. What about you? I know you've had issues now.
Well, my issues are technical and most of them are my own fault. So, you know, I won't go into too much of that. I think it's, you know, I think what's great about it, you know, is that it's available on so many different platforms, you know, running a variety of operating systems. Mm-hmm. You know, so iOS is great. Obviously, you said you watch most of it on your iPad, I think.
Yeah, I watch everything, Netflix, everything on my iPad. Yeah. It's big, it's heavy, but it gets the job done.
You watch
done.
It on there, you know. What? So PS4, they run like Orbis or something, so you know you can watch it on there. Xbox One is actually really interesting because the regular Xbox runs on a Windows 10, kind of almost like a standard issue OS. But Xbox One is that nanovisor, you know, it has the partition environment and stuff, so that is a little bit funky. But again, it runs on all these different platforms. It's all great. But my Samsung Smart TV seems to be an issue for it. But again, like I said, those are all my own, that's personal problems. So if I had to say, one thing I'm not happy about, just pick one thing.
Ready
it
for
is,
it.
And this is not even, this is partly Disney Plus, maybe it's kind of Disney as a whole. Did you know that Disney is planning on remaking Home Alone? Not just planning, they are going to reboot.
I did not know about that.
The original Home Alone. I don't know how they're going to do it. John Candy, you know, rest in peace. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm very upset. Very upset about that. I don't know. I'm hoping that there's like a petition maybe to stop this. But it's really absurd. It sounds like, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather see a fourth Santa Claus with Tim Allen than see them do this. Like it just,
I don't think it could be. I don't see it's in its original way being viable in today's time.
Well, the story won't work. It's too easy to get all the, you know, and also, yeah, it's just, it's a little bonkers, you know.
Maybe there's going to be an EMP. Maybe an EMP goes off over the city and just wipes the electronics out. Maybe the solar flare wipes the electronics out. But I got one for you.
Way, way bigger problems. And like, I don't know. I think you're right. Those are certainly viable some plot lines to kind of make things, you know, run a different direction. But not to be confused with Stoned Alone, which stars Ryan Reynolds. And I think Joe Pesci's actually going to be in it too. And it's kind of a comedy, off color. Maybe it's probably be on Hulu. You know, Disney. Uh-huh. Disney Plus is really trying to keep PG-13 and below on the Disney Plus platform. And then anything like you know, if you say you want to watch Deadpool, you know, just kind of wade on over to the Hulu, because that's where you'll be able to watch stuff like that. So.
Okay.
But it's disappointing. It's disappointing about the Home Alone thing. I just found that out. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, because originally that property was owned by Fox. Disney picked it up in the acquisition. So that, I don't know, that stresses me out. And the other thing that I saw this article, and it, you know, anybody can write anything, right? But it was on a fairly, I don't know, people go to this website. So I saw this article talking about like the 20 worst titles on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Some of them were, you know, I kind of understood, but Home Alone 2 was on there. And I was inches from throwing my computer out the window. Inches. Maybe centimeters, you know, for folks across the pond, centimeters away from just taking all the hardware and just out the window. And, you know, these would be hard windows to replace. So it was one of those things. It really bothered me. Home Alone 2, just classic movie. So now I'm just thinking there's no credibility with the person who wrote the article. There's no accountability because there wasn't a name. It was the whole thing. There's like a pen name, I think. They did, you know, Kazam was on that list, starring Shaq. So I was disappointed to see that there was,
they can't do Shaq like that. Shaq is a national treasure, a world treasure.
No, and you know, some stuff made sense. Cars 2, you know, that's like the Tokyo Drift of the Cars series.
Yeah, not so good.
Frowned upon in a lot of ways. Return to Oz was on there just because it's super creepy. You know, some other stuff. Aristocats, which is, you know, arguably a horrible movie. You know, that animation was extremely rough, which I know was intentional. They wanted to show some of the more like hand-drawn styles and all that kind of stuff, which and I do like traditional animation, but Aristocats is not good. There was one called Gus, which is a donkey that plays football, which, you know, he could have been, I don't know.
What is this Gus and a donkey?
He could have been, you know, it's from the 70s. He could have been a,
oh my God, I found it.
The eventual Air Bud. But I think he plays for a football team called the Adams, and it actually has a nucleus on the helmet itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I'm looking it up right now. Is that
Strongest Man in the World? I'm sure you're seeing that title. That's another horrible one. So, you know, Aristocats, Gus, and Strongest Man in the World all came out in the 70s. So I think
Ed Asner's in it. Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Tough one.
1976 was Gus. Okay. Yeah,
I kind of want to watch it actually, but, so Three Men and a Baby, was actually, I mean, that movie grossed a lot of money. You know, there were a lot of big name actors, you know, including the guy, you know, with the must Burt Reynolds was in it. That movie was actually, you know, has a lot of tones that movie couldn't be made today. But the interesting thing about it is that it actually grossed more money, you know, when you consider inflation, than Guardians of the Galaxy. This is a big film. But again, it's got some, it's kind of like, hey, you know, maybe they don't have that on there. Maybe they moved that to Hulu because there's some themes, you know, might not be suitable there for PG-13. And then Turner and Hooch. You guys have all seen it. You've all seen it. Tom Hanks. And you're just forgetting, but it's just another one of those movies where a dog dies at the end. And it's just kind of, you know, it's like enough of this.
Enough. You know, we had one. We had the Yeller. It's fine. We're good. We're all through with the pet dying. Bambi was just
racing in the rain and all dogs go to heaven, which that happened in the beginning. But it's like they spend the whole movie getting you to fall for this pet. And then it's just like, come on.
Busted.
That's my only thing. Otherwise, you know, technically, and user interface, everything, I'm real happy with. I'm pleased by it.
So, yeah, I'm pleased with the two. And I'm going to leave two recommendations of some additional viewing content that I think is very targeted towards the people who enjoy this podcast is Waking Sleeping Beauty. That is a great documentary. It is on the Disney Plus. And it's a fairy tale about, I was reading the description, but it doesn't make any sense in my head. Sorry.
Now give your own description.
Yeah, I'm going to give my own. So think of it as like Waking Sleeping Beauty. The animation department was in a slumber pretty much after Walt died, all the way up until the 80s when they had Mermaid. And it was just a breakout hit. It revitalized the studio. Lots of good energy, positive vibes. And then you think of all the classics that were then made after that. You got the Aladdins, the Beauty and the Beast, the Lion King, so on. Really good documentary. Frank and Ollie, this is a treasure. This is a treasure.
Frank and Ollie? What do you got there?
You have Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson. These were two just prolific animators back in the day. They lived right next to each other. Frank had a backyard railroad, which then later John Lasseter purchased. And this just kind of follows them a little bit in their day in the life of being retired animators. And at one point they open a drawer, and the stuff in that drawer, I mean, is, you couldn't even put a price on it. And these were just the sketches of the, of this man made and put in a drawer. And, you know, those are just drawings you'd make. If you're, if I'm right here and I just drew something, it would be the same thing as him making just this, in his equivalent, like this masterpiece that he's just putting off. And it's just like a scrap, if that makes sense, right? It's like, you know, to him, it's just a scrap, but he's putting it in this drawer, and it's just full of these incredible cells and these different things. And it's like, wow. It's a really good.
Is it a movie, or is it a, you know,
it's a documentary. It's a documentary.
Two older gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a documentary about him too. They're both, it's just called Frank and Ollie. And there is another one coming on the platform in a couple months, and it's about the Sherman Brothers, and highly recommend it.
I love those guys.
It's very good, and it showcases the differences of the two brothers, and it is fascinating, and you feel really sorry for the older brother. Like, he had a heck of a time in World War II, where the other brother was in a marching band having a good old time, and you could see how both of those experiences shaped them to be who they were, and how they were able to make such great music together. And just poof, it's good stuff. Good stuff. So those are my recommendations.
Didn't those guys, the Frank and the Ollie guy, didn't they do some animation for Brave Little Toaster?
I would assume they kind of, yeah. One thing that's interesting about them, the Pixar story is also really good, but I think that's still on Netflix, is that Frank and Ollie really encouraged, you know, Lasseter and the crew to continue with their dream of computer animated graphics, where everyone else was trying to like sabotage them or ruin them, really, because they were scared of it. And Frank and Ollie, you know, worked really hard to try to make sure that those guys were inspired and well taught and mentored. And so they were good guys, important guys. And they have a small cameo at the end of the Incredibles movie. And they said something about old school, doing it the way, you know, something like that. Two older gentlemen, distinguished, well dressed at the end. That's Frank and Ollie.
Okay, Frank and Ollie, a couple of guys. Now, were they the inspiration for those older gentlemen on the Muppets, you know, that sat up in the balcony?
I don't know, but they look exactly like each other. Oh, that's hilarious. I don't know, but they really, those
they've
two,
got the vibe.
They got the vibe.
But not the vibe, that's for sure.
And the Simpsons fans out there, we didn't mention this, but Disney Plus like cropped half of the show, and it's very awkward. Like, if you're watching it, like half, they messed with the aspect ratio. Disney says they're going to fix that. So that's a good move on them not to be like,
okay,
you know, weird about it. And they're just like, nope, we're going to fix it. Sorry about it. Apologize.
Hey, was that intentional? They thought maybe they could get one over on everybody.
I don't know. It was just a weird move. Weird move. Somebody thought that was a good idea in some boardroom, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, good on them to fix it. So.
Sure. I mean, The Simpsons is a treasure. And, you know, that's how many episodes? Because allegedly it's the whole library, right?
There's a few episodes missing that were removed for controversy.
Controversial? Or do you think maybe they put those over onto Hulu for everybody over there?
I don't know. I know some of them have been removed. I know some people are like, well, it's a good thing I've got these on DVD. So I don't know, because I'm not a huge, not that I'm not a fan of Simpsons. I've just never watched a lot of Simpsons. I always like what I saw. I just never really got fully into it. But 30 seasons, and there's a lot of episodes in 30 seasons. I don't know how many episodes per season.
Pretty bonkers. Quite a few eps. I'm sure everybody can find something that they like in there. Okay, so those are your recommendations. Anything that you'd like everybody to stay away from?
There's this one guy down at the bottom is Dr. Pol. My dad watches him. It's kind of creepy. Sometimes he seems a little like mean to the animals at times. I don't know. Maybe he's a good guy, important guy. I don't know, but I just never really cared for the show. Never really cared for it. Dr. Pol, National Geographic, Dr. Pol, P-O-L. Just never really cared for the gentleman when my dad's watched him. So, you know, maybe, you know, go away from that and watch something else, like Inspector Gadget.
Kind of gangly, gangly dental situations happening there too. It's like a little frightening.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Is he a British guy? He's from the States. Who is this guy?
I think he's from the States. I recommend 8 Below, The Miracle.
Oh, 8 Below. You know what else is on there? Iron Will. I just noticed Iron Will was on there.
What about Cool Runnings?
Yeah. Oh, great. John Candy. The more John Candy movies that they can get on here, the better, I feel like. And And so, yeah, you know, but back to Iron Will, classic. Unfortunately, you know, from what we found now about Kevin Spacey, that makes things tough, but he does play a great role in that movie to separate the actor from the poor behavior. You know, it's a great movie. But 8 Below is awesome, too. That's a good one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Classic Paul Walker.
So what are you going to be watching after we end the podcast here?
Well, Mandalorian, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do. And so, but you know, like I did make the deal with you and I explained this before. I think everybody at home would agree. If you're going to watch Mandalorian, you know, make sure you either have a retina display, maybe you have one of those TVs that kind of curves around you a little bit, something cool, because it's got all these great effects. And so that's why I've been, you know, real hesitant to watch it on the iPad. You know, what I'll probably do as I'm drifting off here, I'll probably start watching episode 2 of The Imagineering. So just because I'm already into it, I started watching it before I started making food. So I'll check that out, but I will definitely be watching The Mandalorian, especially as soon as I can get it up on my tube here at home.
That sounds good. I am going to start with the Star Wars movies. I haven't seen the original 3 movies in so long, and I'm really looking forward to watching them again. And I've been holding off for a very long time so I can watch them on here. So that's my next thing, because I'm still waiting for the next Mandalorian episode 3.
So, you know, in closing, Disney Plus sounds great. You know, we got some stuff going on in the news with the solar panels and the, you know, the long beards and everything. So I guess what I would ask, you know, folks at home, if Scar was in the Star Wars universe, would he be a rebel, or, you know, would he be a devout member of the Empire? And if whichever one he's in, you know, what character in the original 3 movies, those ones that came out back in the day, of those 3 movies, what character is he most like and why?
Oh, in the original 3?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to work with A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Of those 3, if everybody's watched them, what character in those would you say, yeah, that's him, that's Scar?
Okay,
is he that
blue
elephant that plays the piano? Is he, you know, is he that little guy with Jabba that's like trying to bite his tail all the time? You know, who is, and I didn't mean to pick those 2, but
yeah, you picked the worst ones, one in the world.
Is,
I can't get any,
is, you know, size any noodles,
somebody flying a plane, that, but, you know,
you know, it could be anybody, but
saving the galaxy.
Pick out your favorite person that you think Scar most resembles, or the Rancor. You know, he could be anybody, your choice. I didn't mean to just pick monsters. It was just, you know, it's tough. It's hard to remember sometimes.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this in the comments. Once again, thank you so much for watching the Batlock. Wow, I blew that one. The Batlock Boys.
Bad luck to everybody.
The Bad Luck Boys here. It is episode 12. We thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoy Disney Plus as much as I am. And until next time, we'll see you later.